Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are we doing today?
Well, truthfully, Jim, I'm obviously doing the show with a very heavy heart with Joey Chestnut not being in the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest. It's just it's going to be a tough year for America's birthday, but I'm forging on because I love you, the show, and the listeners so much.
I'm impressed that you're able to power through. Did you see the latest? He's not going to appear. Well, they said it's still open to negotiation. I think the people who run it realize not having Joey Chestnut there changes everything. But it looks like he's going to have a one-on-one matchup.
Yes, he is. Labor Day weekend, baby. So we'll maybe celebrate America's birthday a little later than usual this year because they're saying this is his chiefest rival. That he has no rival. I mean, let's be real here. He is an entity unto himself, and there's nobody close. So we will look forward to watching him consume hot dogs like nobody else has and probably ever will again on September, what is it, September 2nd, I think, that he's doing that now, on Netflix.
But that's the kind of matchup, one-on-one, superpowers that has international ramifications, Jeff. Plus, as a guy who I think you've eaten a hot dog or two in your life, how much will the fact that on July 4th it will be Nathan's hot dogs, but on Labor Day it'll be a different kind of hot dog? Just what will that brand change do to this competition?
As long as it's not the vegan dogs, Galati, I'm okay with however it plays out. I say a hot dog's a hot dog as long as, you know, there's the rat tail and everything that belongs in a hot dog is there. Not vegetables. Come on.
There's at least a hint of meat in it. Then it qualifies as a hot dog. It's like, Jeff, years ago, my better half tried to sneak turkey bacon into for my bacon fix. How wrong can you get?
You are fooling nobody with that stuff. By the way, little known fact that we discovered this week, because, of course, we had to look into the Major League eating and everything that is involved there. The record, I believe I have this right. I should have written it down, but I believe the record, and it's a 5-minute period for most slices of bacon consumed, is an amazing 182 slices of bacon in 5 minutes.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, let that one sizzle around in your cranium for a bit.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. And I got to ask every co-host this now. I'm going to for the next week until I wrap it up with Landon, who I think would probably be the winner. How long for July 4th, how long is it they have to eat the hot dogs?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. How many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes?
This is the thing, Jim. So what is truly amazing, and I think it goes underappreciated by too many Americans, is it's not just the hot dogs. It is the entire bun. And that is what I think is truly remarkable. I mean, the hot dogs is amazing. But think about eating 70-plus hot dog rolls in 10 minutes. And I couldn't dunk them in the water. I know there's like strategies there. Get out of here with that. I cannot even imagine doing that. But that is, I mean, I like my carbs, but there is a limit here, Galati, to what I can do. So if we're talking about entire hot dogs, I think I, like hot dog and bun, I think I might be able to get four down. I feel pretty confident about three. I think there's no chance I get five down in 10 minutes. No chance.
It's that 10 minutes that would get me. That's too quick. And I'm with you on that. They put the roll in the hot dog bun in water to make it easier to consume. No, I would have my gag reflex would kick in, Jeff, if you started dunking the roll in water, make me try to eat it. I would have said, for me, in 10 minutes, I think I would have said five, but that might be pushing it too. I think that 10 minutes would make it tough.
Yeah, Goon Conlon and I were talking, and I think we're going to try sometime this summer at a State College Spikes game. We're going to try to do the dog and inning and see if we can get 9 hot dogs consumed over 9 innings. I'm not sure that's even all that realistic, at least for me. I do have faith in the dear Goon and his ability to get that done.
Well, maybe I need to bring Landon in. Landon Goon one-on-one would be an interesting matchup.
Yes, it would.
The fans will demand it. All right, oh, my goodness, Jeff. We need to move on from this conversation. But
all right, what other meat products are we talking about today? Oh, you mean something else altogether. I got it. Sorry.
Although I am always tempted by a bacon conversation.
You and me both, as are, I believe, all right-thinking Americans.
Exactly. As long as we're on the food, could I share with you one of my food specialties?
You absolutely may.
Okay. I have a smoker. All right. Get this. Bacon cheddar smoked wings.
Ooh. Ooh, I do like the sound of that.
Here's, yeah. You make the wings in the smoker. And you put bacon, slices of bacon, over the top of it. So the bacon cooks in the smoker also. The bacon juices soak through the wings.
Yes, sir.
When it's all cooked, you take the bacon off, crumble the bacon, get shredded cheddar. So the shredded cheddar and the bacon bits goes over the smoke wings. You like put that under the broiler for a minute or two to melt the cheese. You now have smoked bacon cheddar wings.
Now we are getting somewhere. This is going to be the summer of love, Galani. The summer of love, I tell you.
I'll remember that the next time we get together in the summer. That will be my contribution to it.
You know, I will provide the beverages to wash those treats down with.
Now that sounds like a party. I'll tell you what, how about we make that happen? We've got a tailgate planned for a September game. How about that's my contribution to the effort?
That sounds good to me. Sign me up.
Okay. All right. Let's actually shift over to more although that's tailgating talk, Jeff. So that is relevant. Let's move on. I wanted to talk a little bit about recruiting with you. This past week, Penn State signed a top 100 cornerback by the name of Darius Dixon. Cornerback, it's intriguing to me. He is currently the highest rated player in their class of 25, and he comes from California. Not a lot of talent comes from California to Penn State. Let me start with this, Jeff. Is there anything about the addition of USC and UCLA, the California schools, that made this happen?
I do think, I don't know in this specific case, but I do think to some degree, right, I think all of the major schools now will tell you they are recruiting nationally. And while that may be true to one degree or another, I do think when you have a conference opponent in a particular state, right, it does open up that door a little wider, and it makes it more appealing for you and your staff to, all right, let's go explore what all's in this state, whether it's while you're out there or in the planning stages and all of that. So, you know, I think the reverse is going to be true as well. I suspect USC in particular and Oregon and possibly Washington and UCLA, but I will not be surprised if you see a prospect or two here and there from Pennsylvania or Ohio or New Jersey end up matriculating out to the West Coast. So, again, I think all of these schools will tell you that they are already recruiting nationally, but I think you get a little more intensified, I guess, in the areas where you have opponents and where you're going to be from time to time.
I think that's part of it. And you get the, and it hasn't even happened yet, but will as you continue to go on, a reputation. If you're playing either USC or UCLA, you're going to be on the road. You're going to be playing in Southern California. So you're going to get, you know, that kind of exposure. But there's also, I think, the flip side of causing this, Jeff, is high school players now, they travel so far to get to these major camps. Yep. They also, they travel, they change schools for exposure. You have kids, you know, we know of so many up north, they might go to IMG down in Florida for the exposure. But this is happening all over the country. So all of a sudden, I think for the players, they don't look at that travel the same way players did years back of playing out of their own region.
Yeah, I think that I certainly agree with that. And I also, you know, dovetailing with that is most of these teams now, even if you're out on the West Coast and, you know, that's where your family is and you're playing at Penn State, your family may not be able to attend all of the games as if they were close to home, but they're going to be able to see all of the games, right? Like all of these teams now, with very few exceptions, all of their games, one way or another, you are able to watch. And I think that that does change the component as well, just in terms of, hey, I want my mom and dad to be able to see me. It doesn't necessarily need to be in person, right? But you want them to be able to watch the game. Hey, see what I did, see what my teammates are doing, that sort of thing. And now you can do that. You do that no matter where your kid is playing. So, yeah, I think there's a bunch of things that play into, you know, that ultimate recruiting picture now. But I think all of those things are make it, yeah, much more likely that somebody goes a good distance from home, you know, certainly compared to 25, 30 years ago.
Exactly. All right. That's it for quarter number one. Jeff, we got lots more to go. Stick with us.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking hot dogs. We're talking wings. We're talking about the important things as we get into the summer season, Jeff.
That's exactly right. There are not many shows that are talking bacon, hot dogs, and national recruiting all in one segment. So who knows where we're going to go with this one.
And they all just fit in together. It all comes together, Jeff. All right. Let's move on. We were talking about I asked you about Penn State's latest recruit, a top 100 player, a cornerback named Darius Dixon. He's from California, obviously very highly regarded as a top 100 player. He's actually the top ranked player in Penn State's class of 2025. And we talked a bit about how recruiting is becoming more national, how much with the conference, the Big Ten conference is now a national conference. I mean, it goes coast to coast. And I think that has some effect on all of this recruiting, not to mention NIL having an effect. But it leads me to now the bigger picture. Here is where Penn State sits right now. They have, depending on which service you look at, they do have 14 commits, and they're ranked either 12th or 14th in the country. That's about where they typically end up. And there was something that it's been created, the term blue chip commits, which are four-star and five-star guys. And how many, and there's the blue chip ratio. You need over a 50% blue chip ratio to win a national championship is the theory. But just looking at it, using the definition of blue chip as being a four or five star player, Penn State has, again, depending on the service, either four-star players or six, which isn't quite half their players. But here's the comparison. Ohio State has 12 blue chip players. Next up, Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama each have 11. LSU, Texas A&M have 10. And two other teams within the Big Ten Conference, USC with 9, Oregon and with 8. And again, Penn State, depending on the service, they either have 6 or 4. I think that's a better way of looking at how, you know, that versus that ranked 12th or 14th. Some of that is based on the quantity of players. I'd rather look at the quality of players. So where I'm headed with this, Jeff, is what does that tell you about Penn State's recruiting when you have their chief rival, Ohio State, with at least twice as many blue chippers?
Well, and listen, this is what we've been, I think, talking about for many years here now, and it's why some are very frustrated with James Franklin and Penn State, and others are, you know, I won't say over the moon, but are like, yeah, this is pretty good for what we're doing. Again, Penn State is, I think, it all depends, I guess, Jim, on how you want to look at it. But I think when you look at the recruits they're getting, the development that they have with the recruits once they're here, and the end result season after season, I think if anything, James Franklin and this staff over the years have gotten more out of their talent than many of the top programs. And what is, I guess, maybe ironic to some is, you know, what James Franklin and Penn State, I think, rightfully hang their hat on is his recruiting. But when you're talking about at the national level, you are comparing yourself to the elite, to go back to the infamous press conference here. And Penn State is not elite by the standards of, you know, the top four or five programs in the country. They are still in that next tier. Now, I would argue that's a pretty good tier to be in. And there is a lot to be said for being in that tier, especially if you are intent on graduating your students, on having the academic side be an important part of your overall program and picture. You know, I think Penn State is doing fine. I think there are a segment of folks that are like, well, fine isn't where we want to be. And that's fair. I get it. I always caution, Jim, I just think it's a lot harder to break into that elite status and crash the party of those top four or five programs. Once you get it rolling, the way Ohio State has it rolling, the way Georgia has it rolling, the way Alabama has had it rolling for years. And again, we'll see what happens here over the next couple of years with Alabama. I don't think it's a given. I'm not predicting anything will fall off here for Bama, but you know, it's certainly not a certainty that they remain in that elite category. But once you get it rolling, it kind of sells itself, and folks want to be obviously part of a program that is winning national titles, and it is harder to recruit to the programs that are in that next tier trying to make that push through. So, you know, at the end of the day, Penn State is really good and has been really good, and I think will be really good. Can they crash through at some point here? Yeah, they could, but it's not going to be easy.
Can Penn State win a national championship, Jeff?
So there's a couple of things in play. Yes, is my knee-jerk response answer, is I absolutely they can. I do think some things have to come into play, and this is with any team, right? So one of the things that always gets, I think, underappreciated is there is an element of luck, even for the Alabamas, the Georgias, and the Ohio States. It is staying healthy, at least in the right spots at the right time of the year, having your guys, your key guys, at least most of them, healthy. Now, part of it, obviously, is you build up depth so that if you do have an injury, hey, our program's in a good enough place where we can withstand it. And I think when we talk about that depth, I mean, Penn State has greatly, I think, improved its overall depth. But do you go from one blue chip recruit to another in the depth chart? Not in a lot of spots right now with Penn State, and not in comparison with Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia for that matter. So, but yes, so I think the other thing that I think can come into play here, Jim, is again, you go through the development part, and that, especially in this era, I think one of the things, and you see this in basketball, right, where you have a team that maybe isn't a perennial power, but they have a great class, and it isn't necessarily like a top five recruiting class, but it's a class that has good talent in it. It comes together, plays for 4 or 5 years together, and has obviously supplemental talent around it. But they make a run against a team that clearly has more talent, but it's a bunch of 1 or 2 year players in college, and they just haven't developed that chemistry yet. I do think one of the possibilities, especially in this era now, Jim, and you know, James Franklin, one of the things he has done a good job of is keeping the key players here. They have not lost a lot of players, like very few, that you're like, oh boy, that guy's going to be a key contributor next year. Nope, he's gone out in the transfer portal. They have lost few that you would say were key components for the next season. So I think keeping a team together and developing that chemistry can be the recipe for a program like Penn State versus, let's say, an Ohio State. And I've been saying repeatedly here for the last couple of months, I think Ohio State is going to be a fascinating case study this year. There's no question they are a really talented team. I would argue they're the most talented team in college football, even more talented than Georgia. But I think there's a lot of dynamics there and a lot of first-year guys that you're trying to get to come together and play for a bigger cause. It may come together beautifully. It may all work out. I just think there's real potential there for some rifts within that locker room that could lead to some real problems when the postseason rolls around for them.
Jeff, there's an awful lot there that I want to comment on. And first of all, taking your answer of can Penn State win a national championship, I think they got to do it in a different way than the Ohio State or Georgia model, perhaps closer to the Michigan model.
I would agree with that.
Where they didn't recruit the same way. There's also this element, first of all, Georgia and Ohio State, they and Alabama, they are always at the top of the rankings for recruiting classes. They're like 1, 2, 3 every year. It's hard to compete with that, and I'm not sure, you know, many teams will. That makes those teams consistently good. They will be challenging for national championships every year just on the basis of how much talent they have, Jeff, right?
Yes, no doubt.
So you start with that, and you then have to say, okay, is there another way to win a national championship? And I'll use the specific position of quarterback to demonstrate, I think, a bigger example or bigger issue. Ohio State has five high-end quarterbacks on their roster. Five of them, Jeff. They have like four top 100 quarterbacks that they recruited. They have a quarterback transfer who is a veteran who has done it. And they had, you know, like a Kyle McCord transfer who was a five-star going in. So their rankings reflect that. Meanwhile, let's look at, you know, the Washington Huskies, who do not recruit at the quarterback position anywhere near what Ohio State does, obviously. But they hit on one on a transfer who was by the name of Michael Penix. And that made them a team that's playing for the national championship, Jeff.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of things there too, Jim. Obviously, quarterback is a key. And if you can get the right quarterback, he can at least elevate your program substantially. But, you know, I also think the, you know, the matchups in a particular year, can you sneak in there and have a year where, you know what, we just have a dynamic wide receiver. We have such a good secondary. We can match up with any receiving core. Like, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's very unlikely that Penn State is just going to consistently beat everybody else on the recruiting front. I do think there's a path there to a national championship.
Okay, we're going to pick the conversation up there as soon as we come back for quarter number three.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State football and where they are in the recruiting and the acquisition of talent, I guess is the way you have to put it, in this transfer portal world. And I think we're both in agreement. They're not going to recruit with Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, those couple elite top tier schools. Now, I think part of this, and this may be me with a little bit of Penn State bias, but I think the nature of Penn State's recruiting is a little different, where those schools, they obviously recruit nationally and they get the top of the top tier talent of guys who just say, hey, this is about me playing on Sunday someday and just get me there. And Alabama and Ohio State are probably the schools that are most likely to get you to the NFL. I think Penn State, and this all fits in, and they're not the only school. There are other schools that do who say, look at the culture. Look what we've created here. Whether you're going to play on Sundays or not, we'll prepare you for life. We'll actually give you an atmosphere over the next 3 or 4 years where you'll want to be here. And it's about team. It's about family. It's about that kind of culture. And in some ways, I use Clemson as the example of this. What Dabo Sweeney did there, he went into a Clemson program that was not elite, was not even very good, and he turned it into something special. And I still don't think that they ever really recruited with the Ohio States and Alabamas and Georgias, but still were able to create an elite team, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think they did it through excellent recruiting in the trenches. Like, I do think they had comparable classes, especially with the offensive and defensive line, and at quarterback, as we've said. And I think those are the, you know, if you are going to contend for titles, and the one thing with the lines, Jim, like quarterbacks, you at least have an idea. Now, there might be a guy that ends up being better than you were projecting, or a guy that ends up worse. But you have a pretty good feel, I think, for quarterbacks coming out of high school. All right, how well is this going to translate? But you need to get some luck there, too, in terms of the recruiting. But where I think it really can be the difference maker is with the offensive and defensive lines. And, you know, some of that is coaches' abilities to recognize what is going to translate at the collegiate level. I still think that is by far offensive line is by far still the most difficult to accurately assess how a high school kid, a dominant high school kid, how that game is going to translate at the collegiate level. And when you look at the great Alabama teams and Georgia and Ohio State, and certainly, you know, Michigan last year, you need good quarterback play, but you have to be able to take control of a game up front and be able to wear teams out over the course of four quarters. And those teams just do it to a higher degree, more consistently, certainly than schools like Penn State.
And, you know, going back to the talent gap, I mentioned that quarterback where Ohio State has five guys who could conceivably be high end. At Penn State, and this is a little fact that I brought up multiple times, prior to Drew Aller, James Franklin had not brought in a quarterback who was ranked in the top 200 players in the country. Now, you know, Drew Aller, but I think the good news on that is you don't have to hit on all five like Ohio State has.
Yeah.
But if the one you do bring in, you hit with that one, like the example I gave with Washington, they hit on Michael Penix. Oregon hit up with Bo Nix. If you hit with that quarterback, now some teams, using again the transfer example, I think teams are using the transfer portal now to bring in their top quarterbacks. Penn State's not doing that. I'm not sure. I don't think there's a right and wrong way to do it, Jeff. I think there's your way. There's how the other guy does it. But I don't have a problem with how Penn State's doing it. But they're going to have to hit on a couple of these quarterbacks that they're bringing in.
Yeah, and you need to hit. So going back to the can Penn State win a national title question, and I think that is part of this equation too, is yes, they can, but you've got to really hit it right. Like we talk about the margin for error in recruiting. Well, yeah, Ohio State, you're bringing in five blue chip quarterbacks. If a couple of them don't pan out, okay, you're fine. If you're Penn State, again, if you hit on the, you know, if all five, four, five, six of those blue chips actually turn out to be elite, contend here at the highest level, but you just have to have a higher hit percentage over that couple of year period. But can that happen? Of course. And the other thing is you just never know. I mean, I understand the metrics involved there with the blue chips, but you also can get a guy that is not a blue chip and, oh, lo and behold, he actually is a blue chip in terms of how he develops and performs at the collegiate level. So yeah, if you can get a couple of those guys, create that culture, get the right quarterback, you know, get another elite player or two that hit at the highest level. Again, it's more difficult for sure, and I don't think you're going to be able to do it as consistently at a school like Penn State or even Michigan as you are at a Georgia now or an Alabama or an Ohio State. But can you do it? I don't think there's any question you can do it. Now, being able to do it, having it as a possibility and then versus actually achieving it, two very different things for sure.
Well, I think the model for Penn State, interestingly enough, is going on right now. Drew Aller, this is his third year in the program. is he ready to be elite? You had Nick Singleton at running back. It's his third year, final year. And not to forget about Catron Allen, but you have both of those guys, but especially a Nick Singleton, who is a special talent. On the other side of the ball, you have an Abdul Carter, and you do have a couple more elite guys, a Denai Dennis Sutton, a KJ Winston, perhaps a Tony Rojas. But are you going to hit on all of those? And you may have a shorter window, but one could argue that maybe this is the window right now with having those kind of elite guys. We don't know if they're going to be replaced with the same kind of elite, elite level, Jeff.
Yeah, and the question for me really, Jim, boils for this upcoming season anyway, really boils down to the offensive line again. And there's no question that the Penn State has improved the offensive line significantly. And I think the fact that you're not expecting it to just fall off after a couple of NFL prospects leave the program is promising. And I do think there's good depth there. But to go back to the ongoing conversation, do I think this offensive line is going to be elite in the upcoming season? No, I don't expect it to be elite. Now, can it be good enough with everything else that's surrounding this program? I think possibly. But again, when you go back and look at the winning the national championship, the teams that have won the national title, those offensive lines for Georgia, for Clemson, for Alabama, for Michigan last year, like those are big-time elite offensive lines. I'm not saying that that's the only path to a national championship and therefore Penn State has no chance. And I'm not saying that, I'm not ruling out the possibility that this offensive line develops into an elite group. I think right now, as we're sitting here looking at it, that would be the biggest question to me is, I think this offensive line is going to be good. Can it be national title contending good? I'm not sure. I think we got to wait and see how that plays out.
And, you know, this is one of those discussions, Jeff, where I don't think either guy would be wrong. We talked about Clemson having those elite teams on the offensive and defensive line. I'll point out they had two very good NFL caliber quarterbacks. They went from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence. They were elite talent, you know. When LSU came up to win their national championship a couple years ago, guess what? They had a number one draft pick at quarterback in Joe Burrow. Ironically, it was a transfer from Ohio State, but you had that kind of elite player. I know Michael Penix, when I talked about Washington earlier, you know, there are NFL teams that were mixed reactions to him, but a team thought he was a top 10 pick. No doubt an NFL pick, Michigan with J.J. McCarthy. You know, that's what you were getting at quarterback. So I think that's part of the discussion. Now, one could argue over the last decade and a half, Georgia and Alabama have won without having the best or one of the best quarterbacks in the country. But the rest of their talent was so overwhelming.
Yeah,
that the quarterback was kind of the placeholder. Don't lose the game for us. But more, I think the rule is having that elite quarterback and elite specialty people at running back, at wide receiver. So I get the in the trenches, but I also see, boy, I'd like having a superstar at quarterback.
Yeah, it's a pretty good place to start. If you're going to start a championship team, that's not a bad place to begin. And listen, I mean, we can agree to disagree, but what I'm hearing you say is in order for Penn State to take that next step, you've got to go raid the Indiana quarterback room. I'm just not sure I agree with that, Jim. I think that's what you're saying.
Well, not exactly. But I do want to, when we get back, ask you, though, about how this how do you get that best quarterback? Because it just seems like so often now we're seeing that those elite quarterbacks are transfer quarterbacks. And Penn State has not gone down that path. I'm going to ask you if they should when we come back after this break, Jeff.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about, you know, Penn State's place in the national picture, where the recruiting puts them. And then also, Jeff, there's now a trend. I think you got to call it at least a trend, where we're seeing the top teams in the country are often using a transfer quarterback. We saw the two teams that are joining the Big Ten in Washington and Oregon had great years from their quarterbacks, transfer quarterbacks. Guess what? Even Ohio State, the great accumulator of high school talent coming in, they brought in a transfer quarterback. Is that becoming a necessity? Obviously, if you bring in a top-level quarterback from high school and develop him and he's a star, the answer is no. But it's becoming so predominant in the country, Jeff. Does a team have to be more open to that?
Yeah, I think you need to be open to it. I don't think it's a necessity, and I think at the end of the day, your preference would be that you have a quarterback that you've developed, that your locker room has a camaraderie with. Like, I still think that would be the preference, but I think the circumstances need to dictate what you do. And if you have a quarterback out there who's already a proven commodity and you think is a good fit for what you're trying to do, and your locker room and all of that, yeah, I mean, you're foolish. I think any coach at any big-time program, your job is to constantly try to upgrade your room and what you're able to put out on the field. And whether that's through transfers or recruits or the combination they're in, again, you need to be doing that. And James Franklin has shown a willingness to do that where it's needed and where it's a good fit. Penn State lost a couple of cornerbacks. Well, go, lo and behold, here's a couple of transfer cornerbacks coming into the program to help out. And so, yeah, if you have a need at quarterback, and it doesn't have to be a dire need. Like, you can have a good quarterback and, hey, boy, there's an elite quarterback. Could we go get him? Yeah, go get him. If again, you think it's a good fit and the discussion leads to that. So I think you need to always be open to it, but I don't think you go out and do it just for the sake of doing it. Everybody else is doing it, so by God, we're going to go get a transfer quarterback, because I do think there's a delicate balance there within a locker room. And again, if you're getting a guy that clearly is a superior talent, great leader, all of that, fine. If you're bringing in somebody and handing them the keys and you already have somebody that's comparable, I think you really risk the locker room. And I hate to keep bringing up Ohio State, but I just think they are going to be a fascinating case study for the rest of the country this year, just because of how much elite talent they're bringing in via the transfer portal. And we may sit, I may sit at the end of the year and say, boy, Ryan Day, that guy knows how to get all of these egos and work together and look at the end result. Man, Ohio State cruised to the national title like many thought they could. That is certainly a scenario that could play out, and I'm not ruling out that possibility. I just think when you bring in as many different players who have that pedigree and you're bringing them together for the first time, I think there's a chance that that thing goes off the rails as well.
You're right. That it's going to be the quarterback room is going to be a major challenge for Ryan Day. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot with that quarterback line of questioning, though, here, Jeff, because you're right. I like the way James Franklin has done it with the transfer portal. He sees a need at cornerback. He fills the need. He sees some great talent available, like a Chop Robinson brings him in. He's done very well with it. The quarterback position is unique, though. You can only play one at a time, and typically you just – that guy plays start to finish unless it's a blowout either way. Yep. So now you have your five-star guy. You have Drew Aller. Let's say, however this year shapes up for Penn State, there's a very good chance Drew Aller is done and going to be going to the NFL. He's got an NFL quarterback build, an NFL quarterback arm. So now what, Jeff? Bo Prabhulit is the guy you've had here waiting in the wings for 3 years. How tempted would you be? And I don't want to hear, well, it depends. If a guy you know is definitely better, would you be in the market for a quarterback next year if you're James Franklin?
Well, it depends, Jim. If there's a guy that's definitely better. Oh, wait. No, you didn't want to hear that. I'm so sorry. Listen,
yourself that was coming.
I think you'd be foolish if you're James Franklin to not take a hard look at the market. Now, the caveat to this is, what does Prabhulit do this season? And part of it too, Jim, in all honesty, and it is a bit of a cop-out, but when we're not up there, like I don't know certainly how Bo Prabhulit is progressing to this point. Now, we may get a better idea if we see him in situations next year. But listen, the belief is, at least my belief is, Prabhulit is not a big-time elite passer. Like, he may bring some big-time elements to the quarterback spot, but I think you'd be crazy if you're Penn State to not be in the market next year. And if you can attract somebody that has a proven track record, again, to me, and you think they're a good fit, you know, that the ego isn't such that it's just going to disrupt everything here. I think you'd be crazy to not at least be pursuing that and trying to get that for your program. Again, I think any coach of any big time college athletic program, you are looking to, I don't care if you have the number one draft pick that's coming out the next season. I think you need to constantly be looking to upgrade the talent on your roster at every position, anywhere you can. Now, if you have confidence in what you've recruited and you're seeing the development and you're like, nope, we have a top five guy and we're completely comfortable with that, cool. But I would argue even then, and I'll give you the example because obviously I do the wrestling broadcast for Penn State, and I have to bring everything back to wrestling. But when you look at Kale Sanderson and what he has done over the years, and the perfect example right now is Greg Kirkfleet, who just won the national title for Penn State. The Nittany Lions had committed to Seth Nevels as their heavyweight of the future. They were very happy with him, had a wonderful history with the family. And then Greg Kirkfleet decided he wanted to transfer from Ohio State. There was a conversation, and it's like, well, you look at Greg, and he's even more of an elite. And Seth Nevels had terrific credentials coming out of high school. Kale Sanderson was not going to say no to an elite talent because they already had a great talent on the team. It's like, well, no, this is an elite talent. We're going to bring him in and let the guys compete. But if we have a chance to go get elite talent, man, you go get it and you bring it in. So to me, that's an easy one. If I'm James Franklin next year, truthfully, even if Prabhulit does progress and you're like, oh no, I think this guy can be a big time talent, I still think you're in the market and you're looking and, hey, is there a guy that could be an even better fit and could play even better and upgrade our roster? And certainly at quarterback, but I think at any position, that has to be the approach. You have to be constantly looking to, hey, can we get better? And if you're looking to compete for a national title, go back to the recruiting. The other way you can even some things up here, Jim, and I don't know that Penn State can match Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State when it comes to the NIL stuff too, or with the transfer portal, but you better be trying, right? Like, even on the recruiting front, I mean, I think you're out there trying to beat Ohio State, trying to beat Alabama, trying to beat Georgia. But if you can't there, could the transfer portal be a way you can get some of those 4 or 5-star recruits to come in and they've already developed? Yeah, you need to be at least trying to do that and trying to look at that as another way to, catch up, if you will, in terms of bringing that elite talent in and, getting closer at least to evening up that playing field with those 4 or 5 elite programs that are out there.
I agree, Jeff. The acquisition of talent is something you can never stop working at it and bringing in. If you could bring in an elite quarterback, the question then, and you brought up NIL, and there's dollars there for the transfer portal, it's how do you distribute the money? Like I've always said, you hear the story of the kid, Miami and Florida were working on him. Florida ended up getting the kid. Allegedly, they were offering him $13 million. What I would do is take that $13 million. You recruit like 25 players per year. I'd give $500,000 to 25 other players, and I'm going to get a really good offensive line, defensive line. I can fill in every position really, really well. So I think there also starts to become money management as part of this. So it's like, okay, I think a top-level quarterback on the transfer portal is going to cost you a lot of money. So what is my confidence level? If I have a finite number of dollars to spend, where could I best spend it in the transfer portal? If I feel pretty good about Bo Prabula, and also I'll add in, how good do I feel about, say, Ethan Grunkmeyer, who people think is next in line, okay? Yep. So if things don't work out with Bo Prabula, I'm feeling pretty good about Ethan Grunkmeyer in his second year in the program. Remember, Drew Aller's second year in the program, he was the starting quarterback. Do I have that level of confidence in Ethan Grunkmeyer along with Bo Prabula? Now maybe I'll get that superstar wide receiver instead. Maybe that's where I'll spend my money, Jeff.
Yeah. No, and I think that's part of this, Jim, that's still a little bit of an unknown as we move forward in college athletics is, you know, how much does the playing field even out here once they presumably get whatever collective bargaining agreement is going to be worked out. And then that stuff maybe gets pushed to the side and it's more, endorsement deals in more of the traditional sense. The colleges don't need to be as involved with that.
That'll be the last word, Jeff. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.